After 32 years, I came out of the closet as a gay Christian pastor. Finally, on the outside of that suffocating prison, I'm looking around and I'm like, we can't stay here. It's not enough to become informed. We have to do something about the harm we're still witnessing within systems and spaces we've been loyal to for so long. It's time we become reformers.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Confessions of a Reformer. I'm your host, Mike Miyashiro, and I'm going to have another conversation with another gay guy, excuse me, on the series, The Real Lives of Gay Men. So I have with me, Ben, I never asked how to say your last name.
Thomas.
Oh, on Instagram, it says Yag.
That's actually, it's not my last name. That's gay backwards.
Why is that? Because I saw your last name is Thomas on emails, but I was like, wait, was that just anyway? Okay, good to know. Okay. We may or may not even edit this out. That's hilarious. Anyway, I have with me today Ben Thomas. We met on Instagram. Ben, yeah. You know, I was gonna just introduce you, but we should have you do that yourself. Ben, thanks for being on the podcast.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, would you mind just giving our listeners just a brief like synopsis of who you are in the world, what you're doing today? What do they need to know about you just to know who's speaking right now?
Yeah. I'm Ben Thomas, and I was born and raised in the Middle East, but my roots are from India. I grew up in a very conservative Christian home, so I always believed, or rather that was what we were taught, is romance happens between a man and a woman and after marriage or after getting married. But that's the kind of home that I'm from. And we are, my parents are Pentecostals. My family are Pentecostals. But I moved to Canada 9 years ago. So I'm Canadian now, but I realized that I needed to accept my sexuality, that I'm gay, and I had to do that 2 years ago. And it was only 2 years ago. I finally decided to take a leap of faith and accept myself, you know? So yeah, I've been in evangelical my entire life, but today I consider myself ex-evangelical and a gay man living in Canada. That's who I am.
Okay, great. Love it. Thank you. Okay, so I've got some questions coming up for me that aren't on this script that I'm going to manage. So surprise, Ben, I might throw you some questions and have prepared. I guess just while you say that, I want to know, like, what made you decide to walk away from evangelicalism and accept yourself as a gay man, knowing that culturally, theologically, like that was all a big no-no where you come from?
Yeah, no, that's I love that question. It's rare. I came out to myself back in 2022, and the reason why that happened, I think, is because I had enough. I was just going through a lot of depression, anxiety, and I'm trying to live this straight guy life, but nothing's ever happening. Nothing's changing. People told me that if I prayed more, if I fast more, I am eventually going to be a straight guy and fall in love with a nice woman of God and, you know, have a good heterosexual life. But that never happened. So I really got tired, and I was like, okay, Ben, you know what? It's okay to do a little bit of research. Maybe you read some books and try to find other gay Christians like yourself. And let's go from there. Let's see what happens. And long story short, you know, I'm completely away from that toxic theology. So that's where it started.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. All right. So I feel like we've got like the basis of kind of a loose idea of where you're coming from right now. I'm curious, with your background and your journey, how did you first know that you were gay?
Yeah, I think I was about 13 or 14 years old. I started having these crushes on other guys in my class or at my school. And that's when I was like, okay, this is weird. But obviously I didn't you know, as I said before, I never believed in romantic relationship between two same sex or same genders. So I never believed that. So I was really good at concealing my sexuality even to myself. So I knew I was different, but I didn't believe it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So would you say it's like around 13 that you were like recognizing or admitting that you were gay, or you can remember that's when you first started having experiences, but that actually came later?
Yeah. I didn't admit to anything. I was going through a lot of crap. So I was in survival mode when I was at school. So I didn't even have time to think about my sexuality. So when it happened, I was like, this is just a phase. I'm going to get over it. It's fine. Yeah. But I was strongly convicted only in 2022. So when I was actually 33 years old at the time. So long time. It took me a really long time to admit it. But I realized I was a bit different when I was 13 or 14. So, okay. Yeah.
Great. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So I guess I'm curious then, within that time period of your life, what was your first crush like?
Wow. You know what? I wish I remembered because I had a lot of crushes. I don't remember my first crush, and I feel so bad about it because everybody does remember their first crush.
Yeah.
I don't, but I can say this, that in my mid-20s, I had a lot of crushes on my straight guy friends, and that is the worst thing to have. Never have a crush on a straight guy, because there's only one ending to that, and that's heartbreak. Yeah, I had a lot of straight guy friends because I wanted to hang out with guys more, you know why, but I had crushes on straight guys a lot. My straight guy friends, but never went anywhere. So yeah, I don't remember what my first crush was like, but I do remember having a lot of crushes for sure.
Okay, nice. Great.
Yeah.
So, okay, now, obviously you start like noticing and taking inventory for yourself or whatever, but for many of us, the sexual side of this experience comes later. The next question on my list is, what was your first sexual experience like?
Ooh, you know what? It was really bad. It was very bad. So I met this guy on a dating app.
How old were you when this happened? Place.
I was 33. So I was pretty old.
Your first sexual experience happened when you were 33?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yes. I just want to acknowledge it. Okay, great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because I grew up in a very strong conservative Christian home, and I believed in purity culture. That was something that I hold on to, but yeah, that's a different story, I guess. So I was 33 and met this guy on a dating app. I went to his house. As soon as I stepped into his house, he started to kiss me, and I was overwhelmed. I was nervous. I had a lot of I think I had performance anxiety, and I was like, okay. And you know what? I think what made it worse was he was not friendly, and I didn't know how to say no. So yeah, it was just a bad experience. It took me a while to get over it, but I'm glad I eventually did get over it. So that was my experience.
Okay. I have several questions. Now, of course, feel free to not answer any of my questions, but
yeah.
I mean, that to me sounds like, would you classify that experience as traumatizing, or is that too strong?
I would, yeah, because I would say it was a little traumatizing, because after I left, I started messaging some of my close friends about it. And, you know, I kept asking them, do you think there's something wrong with me? Did I do something wrong? I wanted reassurance because I felt I did something wrong for him to be unhappy or not friendly towards me. So it was pretty, it did hurt me on some levels, But my friends were very supportive, and they kept telling me, "There's nothing wrong with you. He's just being a jerk, and this first time doesn't mean anything." We have this culture, or I guess this concept, where first time should always be perfect. And today I can say today that it doesn't have to be perfect. So I'm really happy that I moved past that.
Wow. Okay. So your first experience was with a stranger, and you were in your early 30s, and you were like, I guess I want to know, like, what was your thought process going into that scenario? Why, like, were you just like, I just need to get this over with? Or were you like really interested in this person specifically, or what was going on in your head?
I did find him cute. Yeah, for sure. But I think I wanted to explore my sexuality a little bit more. You know, people talk about sex so casually. And I was like, I don't have any experience. And I was like, you know, I want to try something. So I think that's what made me do it, go for it. Yeah, that's the best answer.
Okay, and then this guy, did he know like that you were like inexperienced? You were like, basically you were a virgin, right? Like he didn't know anything?
Yeah, I may have told him, I think I did tell him that, hey, I don't have a lot of experience, just so you know. I gave him a bit of a warning. I didn't want to go into details because I was like, I don't want to like turn him off, I guess. But, I don't know. I don't know what was going on in my head at the time. He did notice that I was nervous. I'm sure he did notice that. And I wish he took the time to talk it out, or I wish he did something, but you know what? It's in the past. So,
okay. So I noticed something else you said in there that I thought was intriguing and also kind of relatable. You said, I didn't know how to say no.
Yeah.
Can you unpack that statement for us a little bit? Like tell us, I'd love to hear a little bit more about that part of the experience.
Yeah. I think it's something that I've always had, in me, to please others. Saying no was at least, now I'm okay, I'm getting better at it, but always I had this thing where I needed to make sure that the other person or a group of people are happy, or you know, in a comfortable space, and not have them feel awkward because of me. So there was this unnecessary responsibility that I carried on my shoulders. So I guess you would say that that's more like people pleasing. I think that's what I still have a little bit of it, but I'm definitely way, way better. Yeah.
Okay. So in some ways it kind of sounds like you showed up to that experience, like not prepared, like ill-equipped to navigate some of the variables that showed up.
No, I was pretty stupid doing that. And yeah, no, it was not a good move at all. But hey, I did it. So
yeah. And so I guess in some ways you're maybe kind of hoping he would be a little bit more like hospitable, maybe is the word I would use.
Yeah. Yeah. And just maybe chat with me for like 10 minutes, you know, not just kiss me in the face, like right when I get into his.
There was no like preliminary dialogue of any kind, like have a seat, do you want some water?
Nothing. And he just said hi and then went for it. And I'm like, dude, give me a second, like talk to me, you know? it wasn't great.
Wow, Ben, that sucks. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's your answer for what your first sexual experience was. That's wild.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh man, that's a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
So for the sake of time, let's move forward. I want to ask you know, growing up, for you, what would you say was the hardest part about being gay?
Oh, pretending to be a straight guy. Definitely one of the most exhausting things that I've ever done in my life. You know, and also, you know, having to show this masculine energy all the time. Like I sucked at sports, but I had to pretend that, you know, I was good at it or talk about it all the time. Or even this expectation from me to ask a girl out or talk about women or girls, or even, you know, when it comes to sexual stuff, you know, guys love talking about women a lot. So I don't do that. So I never did that. But no, pretending to be a straight guy, oh my goodness, I hated it. It's the worst.
Yeah, agreed. I agree. That was exhausting for sure. All right. So now with where you are in your journey, what would you say is the hardest, what would you say now is the hardest part about being gay?
Being a colored gay man, is a bit challenging for me on so many levels. I live in a city where the gay dating pool is very small, and I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of gay men out there, but they don't want to come out of the closet, and you know, they live heterosexual lives, which makes the gay community very small where I live. So also not having a supportive family, a stronger community like I used to during my straight days. Now I had a community, I had supportive family, I had all of that going on. Great. Now it's very, it feels very isolating. But I think, you know what, I would say I'm happier. Yes, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I'm dealing with and it sucks. But, you know, like Nick Nelson said in Heartstopper season 2, episode 7, he says, I like who I am and I like my life. And that is something that I live by today, because I do like my life and I do like who I am, even though a lot of things suck. So, yeah.
Nice. Okay, cool. Thank you for sharing that. I'm sorry if I'm not laughing. Yeah. Even though a lot of things suck. Yeah, totally. Getting to at least be yourself in the midst of what sucks is better than what it was like before, right? For sure.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So conversely, I want to ask you, what do you love about being gay?
Ooh, not pretending to be a straight guy anymore. You know, that is so cool. You know, I think I do consider myself to be masculine for sure, but there's a soft side in me that I now get to express. And maybe it's a feminine side. I don't know, what do you call it? But whatever it is, I couldn't do that during my straight days. But I'm glad I can express that better now on some levels. And just being my authentic self. And I don't have to feel guilty for having a crush on a guy. I don't have to feel bad about kissing a guy. It's the experience is liberating. I'm not fully out to everybody. And I don't think it's necessary that I owe that information to everybody in my life. But for the most part, it's a liberating experience.
Nice. Totally.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, thank you. So I know it's kind of been recent for you. Have you ever been in a long-term relationship before?
I have not. Never been in one. Don't know what it's like. But funny, it's funny because a lot of my straight friends used to come to me a lot for relationship advices. And I don't know why. I'm the last person you should go to for that. But I think they see me as level-headed or someone that they can trust. So I've had that, but never been in a relationship. No.
Yeah. Wow. Totally. I kind of want to add, this is, again, we're going to go off script here. I'm just curious, when you're saying your first sexual experience was when you were 33, all the years before then, so like from puberty, right? When your hormones kick in, you start having the sexual component of your identity to 33. That's like a long time, right? Especially culturally, that's like a long time to be celibate, I guess, is what we're saying here. Like, yeah. To be can you just speak to like what that window of time in your life was like? Like, how did you do that for that long? What was going on in your mind? Like, what could you speak to that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was celibate as fuck for sure. But sorry. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse. But,
yeah, you're good.
Okay, awesome. No. So I think how I coped with that was, of course, porn. And I felt like I was living a double standard life. You know, at church, I'm somebody. At home, I'm someone else. I was secretly watching porn, and I would satisfy myself with that. But, you know, every time I did that, there's this phase of guilt that this guilt that just encompasses me. And, you know, I go on this phase where I'm fasting and praying and repenting because I watched porn and, you know, I thought about men in that way. So, yeah, I think my coping mechanism was definitely porn. And that is how I coped for so many years. But also I believed in this, I don't know, I just believe that if I'm going to be celibate for a long time and stick to God's will, I would have the perfect marriage and the perfect sex life. So I believed in all of that. You know, it was something that I grew up with, and I was a strong believer of that. And I hate myself for that. I really do, because I wish I had sexual experiences in my 20s. But yeah, it's that was my life in a nutshell.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for sharing, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so now in your new liberated life where you're getting to be a sexually active person, it's kind of a funny question I threw in here. How do you generally hit on other men?
Oh yeah. I don't a lot because I suck at hitting on men. But when I'm on a date with a guy, I use my hands to flirt. So what I do is when we're at the table, you know, talking over a couple of beers or whatever, I slowly move my hands towards his hands and I start gently brushing his hands. And that has worked, but it hasn't happened a lot, maybe two times, but it has worked. They always fall for it. So I've done that. And also the other thing about that is, you know, it's kind of hard to hit on guys because we live in a predominantly heterosexual society. So when I see a guy, I don't really know if he's straight or gay. I don't want to assume as well. That could be offensive. But also if I do something, I don't want to be like, oh my God, I offended this person. You know? So, but yeah, if I'm on a date or if I'm on a dating app, I would just, if I'm on a date with a guy in person, it's going to be my hands. But if I'm talking to someone on a dating app, it's the regular, hey, good looking, hey, handsome. Yeah, pretty lame and boring, but I don't know how to hit on guys. I honestly don't. I need to take some classes.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome. Okay, thanks for sharing. Okay, so then in the midst of your journey and where you are with all this, do you have friends with benefits in the midst of like looking for what I'm assuming you're a relationship?
Yeah. At the moment, no, I don't. But I did have one last year, and yeah, that was a great experience for me. I knew it wouldn't go anywhere because, you know, we were in this as friends with benefits kind of deal. But yeah, I had one last year, and he was amazing. He made me feel very special. But you know, work, he got busy with work and life and we eventually stopped talking, but at the moment, no, I don't.
Okay. And then how did that friends with benefits situation even end up like coming about? Was that something that you guys like intentionally talked about? Was it just kind of a default or what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about it. I mean, so it started on Grindr, of course. Met this guy, we started talking, he was like, hey, can I come to your place? I was like, okay, fine. Came over, we hit it off, and then we shared Snap, and he was like, do you want to be friends with benefits? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And we went from there.
So. Okay, and that was your first time having an experience like that?
Oh, well, yeah, friends with benefits, yes, yeah.
And was there a part of you that's like, oh my God, I don't know what that means, how does that work? Or did you feel like that concept kind of already made sense?
I don't know. For me, the concept made sense. I loved it, and I was like, "Yeah, well, why not? Just do it. Just go for it." So, I was having fun, and he was having fun. So great.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Do you want to fall in love?
I do. But you know, I've been independent since high school. I'm 35 now, so it scares me a little bit to fall in love. The concept of it does scare me a little bit. Of being in a relationship, but you know, I'm kind of a hopeless romantic at the same time. I do want to have like a fun love story, so I guess I do want to, but I'm also scared about it.
Okay, so when you said you're independent, are you saying like in your mind love kind of comes with a loss of independence? It feels like a bit like you're stuck.
Yeah, that's what I'm scared about. I'm also scared of falling out of love. You know, I've seen relationships fall out, and that scares me. Because when I invest in somebody, I am very genuine. I'm very sincere about that. So if that doesn't come back, then you know it's gonna put me through another phase of trauma and therapy. And I don't know if I want to do that. So I'm just scared. I think a lot. I overthink. But I'm definitely up for trying it for sure.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Now this is going to feel a little bit like out of left field, but obviously given your evangelical background and that being a major like backdrop of your journey, do you have any like church horror stories?
I have plenty of them, but because of time, I'm going to keep it very short, maybe two stories. One was I confided in this youth pastor at my local church. And as soon as I did that, he prayed for me and he wanted to control my life. He started to give me advices. He said, don't talk to women at church, be active in sports, get involved with sports so that you can be more masculine. And he wanted me to get married to one of his cousins, a woman, of course. So that still triggers me, the whole thing. And the second one was probably the worst because I found this mentor on a Christian website. He's not from a local church, but he was vile. He would condemn me for having like sexual thoughts, masturbating or whatever that is. He would condemn me so hard and he would demand me to pray more, repent more. He actually once even mentioned, I think it wasn't him, it was his website that mentioned that anyone who called you referred to you as a, I don't want to say the word, the F word. So anyone who used that word should be forgiven because they, I don't know, it was something along the lines where they meant it for good. It was just unbelievable, the whole thing. Yeah, I don't know. I was in complete shock, but I'm just glad I walked away from that. I was like, you know what? Screw this. I don't want this. I'm gonna do it my way. I mean, yes, of course, I still wanted to overcome my homosexuality, but not with that guy. It was just he was too controlling. So yeah, those were my horror stories from my church life.
Okay, are you saying you said you confided in that guy? You were saying like you. Like we're confiding him about being gay.
Yes.
And then he kind of gave you instructions on how to move forward and kind of started like trying to get you to marry his cousin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, okay.
I know. I'm glad I didn't. But, yeah.
Dude. Okay. So Ben, purity culture, obviously a major contributing factor to your process and journey. I can relate to a lot of what you expressed here. But so your first sexual experience with another human being didn't happen until you were 33 years old. I'm like, man, that is such a strong impact on your life. I'm wondering, what advice would you give to like a gay teenager who's in evangelical culture right now? what would you say to them? Like, obviously, you know, being at that age and in that world, that your options are limited and things are scary and all that. But what kind of advice would you give to somebody in that situation that you wish you could have heard at that same age?
I think what I would say is consent is very important. If there's something you don't like, just walk away from it. Please don't stay. If you're not happy with something, just say that to the person that you're not happy with it. And if they don't respect that, you have every right to walk away. I didn't do that because I wanted to. I didn't know how to say no and stop that. If you don't feel respected in that space, just walk away from it. Life is too short to be in spaces where you don't feel respected. Try it with people that you would feel safe. Make sure that the person you're going to meet up with or talk to, make sure that they're safe for you, that they don't out you or say something nasty to you. I would say consent, very, very important, and safety. Just if you don't feel safe, then yeah, just walk away. It's not, never for you. That's what I would say to even to my younger self.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Ben, thank you so much for sharing your experience here. I have one last question before we land this plane. You mentioned earlier, I think I asked you, what's one of the more difficult things about being gay? And you mentioned being a person of color was a factor there. But then I think the major answer was some other theme. Would you mind speaking to that experience? Like, what part of being a person of color in the queer community, in that particular identity, do you find to be difficult?
Yeah, so no, that's a good question. So I live in Canada, but I live in a place where it's predominantly Caucasians. And I know for a fact that a lot of Caucasians prefer to date other Caucasians. I'm talking about within the LGBTQ spectrum. I don't know what it's like in the heterosexual space. And I've seen that a lot, because you can feel the vibe, and when you talk to a person, a Caucasian man, you know, just right then and there, you know that they prefer someone who is from their own race. But also the funny thing is, even talking to people of color, like gay men, even they prefer to date someone who is white. Yeah, I've seen that a lot. And that's when I'm like, okay, yeah, I feel this is, I don't know where this is going. Because for me, I don't care. Like, I'm open to everybody and anyone, as long as they're sweet and respectful and, you know, good looking. I do like that for sure. But I think that's what I mean. So that's when you realize, okay, I have this extra layer over me. So it's not just about being gay, but it's also now have to, you know, I'm a minority, you know, I'm colored, I'm gay. And I'm in this super minority space. And I think that's one thing a lot of colored people are afraid of. Like, you know, they want to fall in love or be with someone who is a Caucasian, so they can get out of that, you know, that stereotypical aspect. Like, people have a lot of stereotypes about colored people, I guess, so they want to get out of that or escape that and, you know, live in a Caucasian family, I guess. I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking this, but this is what I've seen and researched. I've read articles and I've seen this over and over again. So I think that is the part that I was referring to when I mentioned being a colored gay man is a bit challenging for me.
Thank you for sharing.
Fascinating.
Yeah, the layers and complexities of the human experience, you know, it's just, there's so many things to have to navigate and just be, yeah, you're right. Like, you've got uniqueness within uniqueness. Dang, thanks for sharing. Just big picture, thanks for being part of this conversation. I know, you know, we've got a lot of different gay people out there with different experiences. So thank you for sharing yours. I appreciate your vulnerability and transparency there. As always, everyone, thanks for listening. If you would be willing to like, comment, share, rate the podcast, you know, that's helpful. We appreciate it. And we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Mike.
Listen, there's more where this came from. If you want to dive deeper, check out MikeMayashiro.com.